All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and our good buddy Jonas Siegel of The Athletic in here. Jonas, how are we feeling?
Oh, my cronies are here too. Jeff.
Yes.
Be advised, everyone is listening.
The cronies, everyone wants to know. Let's have an update
on what you and your cronies are saying. What do you have for us?
What would you like to know today?
Just what are your thoughts like? What do you and your cronies think the Leafs need at the deadline? Do they need a smallish, skillish winger?
Is
that what you and your cronies like?
Yeah, that's what everyone wants.
That's what you and your cronies like.
I think this is actually a good conversation. One thing a lot of the cronies do believe, I'm not with this, but they look at the statistics of their defense and they say the Leafs don't need another defenseman. They don't need, they're set, they're good.
Okay.
Yeah, the cronies. The cronies are a big fan of.
They love the D.
Yeah, like Mac Hollowell is your seventh defenseman. That's
no.
cronyism.
See, here's where Jonas, where you and your cronies, I think you guys can get yourself into some trouble.
The cronies. I love it.
This is being dead serious.
Yeah.
To assess that decor.
Yeah.
And say they don't need another defenseman.
Yep.
And it's the same as all kinds of fancy stuff. You're not factoring in the intensity of playoff hockey.
Well, here's the thing, Jeff.
Oh, God.
This is
5 minutes in and this guy.
This is where me and my cronies actually disagree because I'm with you. I think the playoffs are different. I think you need that different style of defenseman. I'm not with the cronies on this one. Where are you?
He's not with them either. I can answer for him. This happens every single year, though. The sport, collectively, anyone that follows it, we have amnesia. And you think, well, you look at the stats in October, November, December. Once you get to the playoffs, it is totally different.
Totally different.
The whole game is different. You can complain about the officiating, which happens every year. Mm-hmm. They should officiate differently. Guess what?
They don't.
They're going to officiate differently in the playoffs. That's the way it goes. The ice shrinks. Back pressure is more significant. There are so many different areas that just do not allow for the application of regular season to playoff. Now, it's not crazy. It's not so significant where you need a completely different game. But it allows for a different style of player that may not look as valuable in November, December, as they will look in April, May, and June, and vice versa. The guy who, again, is rolling out there when there's a lot of open space, a lot of no-hitters in the regular season, may not have the same abilities come playoff time.
And let's just say this, Hayes. We're not pulling the trigger on anything this team does, but I've watched every game since I've been doing this job, every shift. I would have been watching it anyway if I wasn't doing this. But you pay close attention, and let's not bicker about who they should get or what could happen, but let's just agree on this. If there's a quality defenseman out there that's available that the Leafs might be, why not? They haven't had a real quality right-handed defenseman in quite some time. They got this Liljegren kid who's pretty good, but he's not a Josh Manson difference maker for a team. All I'm saying is you could get whatever you want, and let's not fight about that, because if there's good players available, any team should do it. But if there's a guy sitting there, why not? It can only help your chances and help your team.
Yeah, I think that is likely the way that Dubas is going to approach it. I think Kyle is aware of what they have, what they might be lacking. You know, they're a very good team, but projecting how it's going to change come the playoffs, a lot of it really is just the best, a clutch gene in the biggest moments, which you can't predict. You can't know how it's going to play out. You can't know when it's going to break your way, because they've had 5 years in a row where it's been a close game in the second or third period of a game seven. And at that moment, it's who's going to be the one to break this open?
And that's an interesting way to look at it. Do I want to give up a first-round pick, or is John Tavares going to get two goals in Game 7?
Right.
It's what's going to happen? Do I need to give up the first-round pick, or is Nylander going to score an overtime winner to get us through to the second round? Those are things that people got to be thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point, you can't know until you actually get there. But you look at the deal yesterday, the Horvat deal. The Leafs could have put together the same package. effective. Like, you could give up a first. Fraser Minton is probably the equivalent of Ratu. And then whoever the Bevilier player is. I don't know who that would be, but you can find someone on your roster. Now, I could understand why the Canucks would prefer the Islanders package, because the pick is going to be better. Even if it is top 12 protected, it's unprotected next year. But the Leafs likely could have matched or exceeded the Islanders deal and picked up Bo Horvat. They chose not to. They're not alone. Colorado chose not to. Boston chose not to. The Islanders jumped in. The Islanders paid that price. But I wonder what that says about how the Leafs are going to approach Timo Meier if he's available, Patrick Kane if he's available, Ryan O'Reilly. All different players play different positions,
different contracts,
different stages in their careers.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of different elements to it. But Horvat's a guy who's in his prime, playing the best hockey of his career, and I don't think the Islanders paid an overly steep price.
So I know you guys talked about this yesterday. I don't get it. Why make the deal now? Like, if that's the deal, why not just say, yeah, we'll put that on the shelf for now?
Yeah, my guess would be they floated out league-wide, this is the price you have to pay. A first, a top prospect, and a player, and the Islanders literally met it, and they said, okay, we'll take it. That would be my assumption.
There's also something to be said for enough bad vibes around their organization where you just want to pull the trigger on something to be rid of it and move on and try to heal the scars for the organization right now, as opposed to letting it drag on and Horvat talk. They've had enough bad PR in Vancouver.
Is that good management, though? Like, this is your best asset. Why would you just...
How much better do you think that deal could have been?
That's the question.
I don't know. Get a better prospect. Get multiple picks. Like, look back.
Ratu is a pretty good player.
Okay.
There's the unknown element here.
That's a good point. Fair point.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. Bevilier is an 18 to 25 goal scorer.
Yeah, he'll be UFA in a year. So, like, he doesn't matter, really, in the big scheme of things, does he? He doesn't. He's literally going to be UFA a year from
Jonas
now.
Jonas is steamrolling you right now. He's got the cronies behind him, and he's...
You've got cronies at that coffee table outside of that room, don't you? Texting you stuff.
Do you know what? Do you remember Andrew Kopp? I was looking back at some trades last year. Andrew Kopp got a first, a second, and a player, and I think something else.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Kopp is not as good as...
No, he's not. That's the thing.
I don't understand this.
Okay, but Jonas, I just love teams that you want to sit around and you sit around. And ultimately, if you sat around for another couple months and dragged everybody, the fan base, the players, the coaching staff, for a guy, a prospect that's a little better than Attu Ratu, is that worth it to you and your cronies?
Yes. Yes,
I agree. High, dude.
It's another month. Who cares?
I agree that it would be, but I think Vancouver's telling you they don't believe that that'll be there. Like,
for the best player on the market?
Well, is he the best player on the market?
Is Patrick Kane?
I don't know.
Who's
is it Kane?
Player?
Is it Timo Meier?
Dude, at the end of the day, Jonas,
he's a great player.
At the end of the day, Bo Horvat's a damn good player.
Yeah.
If a better deal was out there, why weren't teams jumping the gun?
Because
hang on a second here. When Jimmy Rutherford was in Pitt, he always pulled the trigger first if he wanted a guy. Whether it be Phil Kessel, Jason Zucker, whoever he wanted to go get, he pulled the trigger on it.
Yep.
So if a team was super mega horny to get Horvat, why didn't they pull the trigger and get a better deal?
Do you make your best offer a month before the trade deadline?
Well, I mean, I think Lou probably did. That's clearly
what Well, Lou probably said to them, this is the deal.
Take
if
it
you don't take it. It's gone.
Exactly. And he may have won that poker game.
Now, clearly.
I don't think Lou is exonerated from criticism if this falls apart. Like, if they miss the playoffs.
He's 80.
I still think they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't think the Islanders are going to get in.
Yeah.
And then if Horvat leaves as a free agent, what the hell did you do?
But wouldn't Horvat leave as a free agent? He's like, it only comes around once in a while. He's not tied to the long.
Yeah, but the Islanders can give him that eighth year. Maybe they're willing to give him an extra year and more money now. Like, they have his bird rights, so to speak, now that they've got his contract.
Nice.
But, yes, I'm not sure what he's going to do. We'll see. I'm sure they're going to talk and they're going to have that conversation. But I think there's a timeline element to this as well, where the Islanders, they got to get going here. They can't waste time. They're out of the playoffs looking in. They can't wait another six games. And I wonder if what Vancouver is telling us is, we're chasing Bedard. We got to get going on that.
Yeah.
Like, we got to start losing here. What's the point of wait? If we wait another month, Horvat might be worth another 2 points or 3 points, and that could cost us a lottery position. I think that's where the Raptors are right now with this OG Anunoby conversation. Like, Shams Charania, your crony from the Athletic, is reporting that they're fielding calls on OG. What does that mean? Like, what the hell?
They pick up the phone and they're like, hello?
Yeah, they're taking calls on Anunoby. But them moving, because they can move him in the summer. He's under contract for another year. He's 25 years old. He's got incredible value around the league. There's no reason to just trade him for nothing. Like, the Canucks are in a different spot. Canucks have been a mess for a long time. They have no cap space. Horvat wasn't signing, and he's leaving in July. They were forced to trade him. They didn't have as much leverage. The Raptors have leverage because they don't have to trade Anunoby. And I think there'd be many people that would argue you shouldn't. But if you're going to, there's two elements to it. One, you need to get a great package. Have to. You can't accept the Horvat package, the equivalent. You got to get a monster deal. But by doing it, you're committing to the tank this year. Like, there's an element of...
They're probably too good, though, now.
They're not going to catch Houston. They're not going to get to the bottom.
Orlando.
Neither's Vancouver, using them as an example.
I watched that team last night in the third quarter alone, okay? And a bit of the fourth. And they were dialed in the third quarter.
They look great in the third quarter.
Dude, everything. I was watching it. I'm like, you're telling me that this team's that bad?
Well,
but a sign of a bad team is just they can't sustain it. It was one quarter, and the Suns didn't even have Booker in the game.
Exactly.
So it's like you're done. That game last night, I think, is a microcosm of the season where when you don't have enough talent, there's no sustainability. You can't win in long spurts, and you do that. And it was just that game is their season in a nutshell and their team in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
We could have a quarter. We could be dialed in, and Scotty Barnes was all over the place, and Jerry Trent Jr. was dialed in. Fred VanVleet was dialed in, and I'm like, this looks like a recipe for success, and they can't sustain it, and that's their whole season in a nutshell, that game.
I'm having
a good show thus far.
It's a really good start.
It's a good start for me.
It's a really good start. You're going up against cronies. You're going up against a mob.
This guy in his wolf pack of cronies, the nerds that are sitting probably at – he probably goes out there around the coffee table, and they're sitting out there, and Ninja Myrtle and his buddies are out there waiting for him.
Possibly. I can't confirm or deny if that's actually true. But you're right. Oh, there have been 10 of those games last night for the Raptors this year. 10 of them. Where you're like, actually, you know what? They look good. They had good stretches.
No way.
Like, they didn't shoot the ball. They shot poorly from three, which is an issue. They cannot shoot collectively as a team. They don't have enough rim protection. It's all been there all season. Like, we know what the flaws are of this team. Yet they're 2-2 on this road trip. They actually have a plus point differential. It's negligible. It's 0.5. But still, considering all of the red, all of the negative around them in the standings, and with all that said, they are sixth worst in the NBA in terms of record. Now, also a little bit deceptive because they're only a couple wins away from being like eighth in the East. And I think that's what is confusing Masai and Bobby Webster is they don't know where to go yet. They better figure it out. They got like a week to figure it out. Publicly, they're never going to show their hand publicly, but I think it'll say a lot between now and the deadline in terms of how they feel about this team. In other words, who they trade, and then into the summer, how deep they go with it. I don't think they have the stomach, Masai Ujiri, to do like a full scorched earth tank. Basically, everyone outside of Scotty Barnes is on the table, including Siakam. I don't see that. But could I see a scenario where between now and game one of next season, Anunoby's gone, Van Vliet is gone.
Well, isn't Van Vliet the likelier guy to be traded now?
Like, well, he can opt out and be a free agent.
And he's going to.
He's going
clearly
to opt out of that
so
deal.
Isn't he the guy, like, it's just like he's different because he feels so essential to the culture.
And he's playing a lot better recently. Starting to hit shots, which is a big part of
that. But his age doesn't really match with where they're going.
I agree. Like, and that's what I'm saying about what I think they're going to show their hand in the next 6-7 days here. In terms of how deep they want to go with this.
Yeah.
And how bad they think they're going to be the rest of this year. But on top of that, how bad they're willing to be next year. Because that's a big part of it.
But if you're not in it this year, you're not going to be... Like, what are they next year? Like,
I think they could argue, if you bring back a starting five that they currently have, you have a healthy Precious Achiuwa, maybe Otto Porter comes back and is healthy, you add a shooter or two, they could be a team that makes the playoffs next year.
But that's not their goal. They want to win a championship.
But everyone wants to win a championship.
Yeah, but
Masai, for some reason, different. Why are they different?
I don't know.
Why is Masai Ujiri different than every other
GM? He's always been clear that that's the way he operates. If they can't win a championship, then...
But that's not... I don't think that's necessarily
true. How do you get closer to a championship? And this, like, how is this team going to get closer to a championship?
Well, it's not by trading OG Anunoby. Ananobi's 25 years old.
The counter is, holding on to him going to... Like, this is what they are with him.
Exactly. But that's my point.
They're not a contender.
So are you a proponent for a significant tank?
But see, you're
right. And
like
a significant rebuild. Because
but that means trading Siakam.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like then, I don't think you can do that to Scotty Barnes. I think that's bad for Scotty Barnes if you go into it like a deep dive. It's just like...
I just leave him as the only guy,
kind of? Mental, his mental is like, this really sucks around here, and I don't know how much I like it. And in that league, you don't want your star player with that mentality because it's big-time problems.
Yeah. Like, then you're talking 3-4 years
a lot.
Of awful... Like, you're talking what Houston's been, what Detroit's been. Like
they're better at drafting and development than those teams. They
but
are.
They don't have anything coming right now, Jonas.
That's true.
Malachi's not it. Delano Banton's not it. Nope, I don't know right. if Coloco's it.
No, you're right.
Like, you know, this is not 5-6 years ago where you're like, that Van Vliet kid might be something. Siakam might be something.
But
they don't
you,
have those
if
guys.
You get multiple first-round picks in some of these trades, I don't know.
The thing is, the NBA draft... And much like any other draft, but I think it's more in the NBA. If you don't have a top 4-5 pick, top 7 pick, it's a complete crap.
Okay, but
shoot.
What if you get one of those Laker first-round picks way down the line?
What's that worth for you?
Well, I guess 20, the problem is it's like 2027. It's
yeah,
2027.
Literally, it's the 27 and like 29 draft.
You're right.
You're not doing. And again, with Scotty Barnes, that doesn't do anything for you. Like Barnes is into his second year. By next year, he takes a big leap. Year after that, he's in his prime. Like, you got to be ready to rock for the next 2 or 3 years when Barnes keeps taking these steps. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not convinced that they trade Anunoby, and I don't think they have to unless they get a monster deal. I think it would be silly for them to trade unless it was a monster deal.
So what would be the monster deal? Like, multiple first-round picks? Like,
yes.
I think DeJounte Murray got traded for, like, 3 first-round picks. If that was it, you'd take them?
I think they have to be unprotected. I think you have to have a chance. Like, they can't be 3 picks in the 20s. That's he's worth more than that.
Yeah.
We got some breaking news here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's on the NFL front. This actually isn't overly surprising. This is courtesy of Adam Schefter. The Saints and the Broncos are finalizing compensation.
Wow.
For a Sean Payton return to the NFL in Denver.
That's where he's choosing to go back?
He's going back and he's going to Denver.
Wow.
Dude, you got Russ? Why do you want Russ?
I know.
Exactly. What
he's Russ-y, man.
Maybe like, he thinks like he had a short quarterback in Breeze. I'll
dude,
just
you
take
know
this other short one.
Now. They're going to collect all of the Sean Payton carving Russ during the season when mm-hmm. he was an analyst, and mm-hmm. it's just going to go viral.
You're so right, because you know he was asked about him a million times. He's been working
million,
with Fox.
A million, and he probably said, this is redonkulous quarterbacking right now.
You can't have any other assessment.
Russell
Wilson was a disaster this year.
No. Jonas and his cronies could go on an NFL panel and assess that.
Yes.
Say, this is garbage.
I agree with you. I mean,
do you want to become one of the cronies? You can try.
What do you have to do to get
There's
into
like
the
an
crony
application
club?
Process, a test, you know.
Is there one take you have to share?
Yes.
Like, is
yes.
there one thing?
I'll have to think about
it. Is it that the MacArthur?
No, I know the one thing you have to do to become the Brotherhood. You got to get picked for blood, and then you got to go to trivia on like on the road. Like
I'll
on a
one
big
up that.
Saturday.
I'll one up that. This is I think the crux of cronyism in Toronto and what actually the genesis of it all.
Yeah.
Let me float this one out for you.
Okay.
The Kuhlman Grabowski MacArthur line is the most underrated line in Leaf history. That's the beginning of cronyism.
That probably is.
Bozak should have been bought out instead of Grabowski. That was a big one
I
for
don't
the
know
cronies
that,
back in the day.
No, I
that
don't know
was
that
a
they
huge
he,
one.
You're
no.
talking you and Billy Waters and Jonas time, aren't you? That's how far back that crony stuff goes.
That was a big crony chatter coming out of that 12-13.
The chatter was about buying out Bozak, but nobody thought that it was a good idea to buy out Grabowski and
it was a
pay
great
Clarkson.
Idea. He did nothing the rest of the way.
And then pay Clarkson?
Clarkson was a bad call. I'll give you that
a
one.
A little bit.
But the Grabowski
Why was
buyout?
Bozak so bad? Like He
wasn't.
He went
that's,
to St. Louis and
Hayes
won
is
a Stanley
like, that's
Cup.
Revisionist history.
People hated Bozak because...
What? Is he was, retired, by the way?
I don't know if it's official, so. But I don't think he's playing anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a good deep cut, Hayes.
That is the original. I remember that. That was the genesis of like, and the Leafs were in a bad place.
Yeah.
Bad place, man. Breaking down those teams and where they were at and what they were doing. But yeah, we got to figure that out. We got to find out the credentials needed to
Maybe
get into
I
the club.
Maybe I can create a crony test.
You should.
And Jeff can take it.
Do you want a test? The O-Dog at 6:30 or something? You think you can come up with anything between now and then?
No, no. Fans can participate, too. Send Jonas questions for the quiz, of the crony quiz.
Yeah.
And, well, it will fire it up at 6:30.
All right. The crony quiz.
Hayes, you got to partake as well.
I will. Yeah. Listen, if I can get into the club, I'll take it. Sure. Yeah.
If you've got crony quizzes for Jonas and his buddies to present to me and Hayes, like old school Leaf beliefs and thoughts and ideas, and we have to pick the right answer, we're going to fire it up later this show.
I love it. The details on this deal are coming in here. The Broncos are going to send a first-round pick in 2023 to the Saints and an early pick next year. Again, what those details are, I'm not sure. Is Sean Payton worth that?
But wait a second.
Dude,
didn't
I'm
they
never
trade
doing that.
Never,
never
for a coach.
That.
But
never,
didn't they trade
ever, ever.
All those picks for Russ?
Yes.
So they're just giving more picks?
I'm trying to think of where they got these picks from. Did they make other deals?
They made a trade in season. Who was it for? I can't remember.
I mean, Noah Fant they dealt in. No, that was in the
Russ
deal.
No, there was someone they traded in season.
That's just an owner that's in too deep, and he just can't. He's got to double down.
Well, it's new owners.
They got the Walmart money going in there.
Yeah, it's
that's what it is. Walmart's
whatever
like,
it is, they're doubling down on Russ because they're like, we paid all this money to this quarterback, and we've got to double down and make this work. But from what I saw from Russ last year, that's a bad spot.
I agree.
Tell you what.
I think Seattle knew what they were doing.
No
Seattle
kidding.
Seattle had they looked under the cover and under the hood for a long time. They said this guy's just not he doesn't have it anymore.
But how many wins do you guys think Payton is worth?
I don't think he's worth any compensation of that level. Like a first round pick and then a second or a third or something next year. That's an awful like Payton's a really good coach. A really good coach. But he also, like any other coach, we're seeing this with Belichick, when he's got a superstar quarterback in his prime, he's a great coach. When he had Drew Brees rocking, great coach. Belichick, when he had Brady rocking, great coach. Now Belichick's got Mac Jones. He's trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. If Russ can't play, Peyton's screwed. Like, Peyton is screwed. Like, oh, you hit the nail on the head. This is ownership in Denver saying, we need Russell Wilson to be worth something.
Yes.
Has to be worth something.
Or we just wiped our rear ends with 250
yes.
sheets.
Yes. And a bunch of picks. So we're in for a penny. We're in for a pound. Give more picks out. Bring a coach in. They share a division with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They're not catching the Chiefs, you know. Like, I think the Chargers are in a better position, even with Staley, certainly with Herbert. Now, I don't know what the Raiders are going to do in the AFC West. We'll see. But I don't know, man. This is wild. Sean Payton on his way to the Denver Broncos.
They must be paying him a boatload, would be my guess.
Payton?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like he's probably the highest paid now, I would think. Who
I think Belichick.
Belichick is probably still in one.
Yeah. So, yeah, Schefter's got the compensation. Denver's 2023 first-round pick and next year's second-round pick for Sean Payton and the Saints' third-rounder in 2024. Wow. That's wild, man. All right, there you go. Sean Payton on his way to Denver. We'll get more into this later this afternoon. We've got Josh Lewenberg coming up on a disappointing Raptors loss last night. His take, though, on some big reports out there in terms of where OG Anunoby stands moving forward. Nick Nurse and his status with the Raptors moving forward. We'll get into that with Josh. Mike Johnson coming up. The Leafs are back in action tomorrow against Boston. We got the crony quiz on coming as well because people are already tweeting in with questions for the crony quiz to see if the O-Dog and I can join the crony club.
It would be an honor for you guys.
It really would be an honor. And we got to get into the NHL.
Even if
99.
I ace the quiz, I'm not a part. I'm never ever be a part of you and your friends.
You just simply won't accept that. I think you'd be great. I think you could find a role in the crony club, and
you could be the crony vice president.
There you go. All
right. Maybe even the president.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of this still to come. So yeah, Raptors
dead.
Such a ridiculous statement. Instead of being a part of the crony club, you'd rather just
rather be dead.
Cease to be alive.
I'd rather check out.
That's
I'd
harsh.
I'd rather check out full
That's
time.
Harsh. All right, so more on the Sean Payton news, more on the Raptors rumors, more on the Leafs Bruins tomorrow night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, lots of NFL action. I love Houston, man. Like, Houston's just one of those irrelevant teams that's on my list, right? I always have a list of irrelevant teams.
Who has no idea what the hell they are? like back in the day when they had Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, like they were cooking and building towards something. Mm-hmm. It was the wide receiver that went to Arizona.
Yeah, it was, you're talking DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, like they had a bunch of talent there. They were a quality team, and it's like this is going to be formidable for quite some time. Now it's
nothing. Awful.
Oh my God.
Nothing.
Oh my God.
And just a team, like just a bunch of guys who put on the same jersey. And here's another example of it where they can't control this. But the hiring of a coach can be a marketing ploy, right? Like it gets your team out there. People start to talk about it, especially in the States where the NFL is king. Talking about the NFL all day, like breaking news all day. They just announced DeMeco Ryans as their new head coach within seconds of Sean Payton being traded to the Denver Broncos.
Don't you want to let that breathe?
Who is going to be talking about DeMeco Ryans and the Houston Texans? Like nobody.
You look better. You didn't trade any picks.
No, it's not about looking better. It's about your brand getting out there. We're a mess. We've been awful. But hey, look at turning over a new leaf. Defensive coordinator with the Niners, number one defense, former player coming home. This is awesome. Instead, it's DeMeco Ryan's cool, but what about Sean Payton going
Monday?
To Denver?
Today's Monday?
Tuesday.
That's a crony quiz right there. You got to know what day
already
it is.
Got one wrong.
Yeah,
I'm waiting. If I'm the president of that organization, the Super Bowl is next week. I'm waiting until Thursday to announce this signing. Because Friday, you don't want a Friday news dump. You want to give this a couple days for every analyst in the NFL business to analyze this. And then you come out with your little splash and say, this is our coach. Like, that is...
Yeah. What a suspenseful break. What do we have here? That is marketing 101.
There you go. Yes. That is marketing in like PR 101, man.
Do any of the cronies have a brain freeze on national TV and national radio?
Hey, isn't that marketing 101?
Yes.
Like some PR guy's got to tell the organization, we can't announce this today.
Honestly,
you guys on drugs?
Like the second it starts to go out, if you get, you need someone to pull you aside and say, Peyton just got dealt, dude, stop.
Yes.
Like don't let this leave
full
this
stop.
Building.
Full stop.
Because no one's going to pay attention to us. Nobody. Like it's honestly, you do a SportsCenter update, it'll be... it'll be a minute and 59 seconds on Peyton, and then 1 second. Oh, and Houston also hired DeMeco Ryans. There's
Roddy Smith. Roddy Smith at the end of the SportsCenter will be like, by the way, Houston signed this guy.
They've got a new coach. We'll tell you who it is tomorrow. We don't have time to even announce it.
Maybe they'll do it tonight. Who knows? But nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Anyway, we got Josh coming up here. Arad's just sitting there talking trades with Josh. I'm looking at, like, Arad is so comfortable. I think he's like, do you think Ananobi's going to get dealt? What's your read on this situation? Why don't we ask him on the air? Here's our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. What's up, Josh?
Not much, Brian. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing very well. There's actually a lot of breaking news in the NFL right now where Sean Payton's on his way to Denver, DeMeco Ryans on his way to Houston, and there's rumors in the NBA. We got rumors, and Shams Charania, who's as connected as anybody in the NBA, has written an article for The Athletic, and he's been talking about it on his shows, that OG Anunoby is officially, I don't know if he's on the market, but I think the way he phrased it was the Raptors are taking calls. On OG. They're taking calls. So what do you read into that? What does that mean? Define that for us.
Yeah, well, I certainly wouldn't use the words breaking news for that. I'm not even sure I'd use the word news. I think people are reacting to the report, certainly, that the Raptors are taking calls. But the reality is, and we've talked about this, even dating back to the summer, the Raptors have been taking calls on OG Anunoby for a while now. They've been taking calls on basically everybody on the team except for Scotty Barnes. I've reported this as well. Scotty Barnes is the only player where teams are getting hung up on when they ask about him. That was the case even with the Kevin Durant stuff over the summer. But outside of that, like the Raptors are not saying no to the potential, the option of moving anybody. They're listening, but I would note there's a big difference between listening to offers and then actively shopping a player. And as far as I understand, the Raptors, even in the summer, were not shopping OG Anunoby. They're not shopping him now. They're not shopping VanVleet or Siakam. But the great thing about having a number of players that are highly coveted. And of course, you have to mention this, the fact that the Raptors probably getting the most attention around the NBA they've gotten since winning the championship. Everybody's talking about the Raptors as a team that could swing the trade deadline, a team that people expect to be active. So the great thing about that is when you're in that position, you don't really have to make calls. You don't have to engage teams because teams are calling you, and that's exactly what's happening right now. The Raptors are having a lot of conversations, and they're weighing all of their options and all of that. Like, as far as I've heard, nothing's changed over the last few weeks in terms of the Raptors still deciding what direction they're going to go in. And guess what? They're going to be deciding for the better part of the next 10 days because there's no reason to believe they're anywhere close to making a deal, nor should they be, right? Like, if you're the Raptors, if you're really any team right now, but especially the Raptors, you're not making a decision until you absolutely have to, because assuming you do make a move, you want the best offer that's out there, and the best offer that's out there probably won't present itself until February 9th. So, yeah, up until that point, I imagine they're going to be taking a lot of calls on a lot of guys.
Jay Lou, do you think that game last night was just example A, or the best example of why this team should move on and try to build in the next couple of years? It was just like, they were so dialed in the third quarter, from what I watched. It's like, how does this team ever lose a game? But they just can't sustain it. They ultimately lose it. And we were talking at the beginning of the show, Devin Booker wasn't even playing last night. So it's like, why keep thinking that this is going to evolve into something better than it's what it actually is?
Well, that's just it. And I would look at it on both sides of it. Like, I don't think everyone was so amped up going into this road trip as if, like, these seven games were going to determine the direction of this team and going to determine the season. And I get it. We're at the point of the season where every game sort of seems like a referendum on this team and the season. But the reality is we're more than 50 games into the season. And at this point, the Raptors are who they are. Like, I'm not surprised by anything that we've seen, certainly not last night in Phoenix, but even on the road trip in general. Like, they've had moments where they've looked really good on the road trip. They've had moments where they haven't looked good on the road trip. They're 2-2 right now on the road trip, and is anybody going to be shocked when they finish probably 3-4, maybe 4-3? But that's the type of team they are right now. They're an average team. They're a 500 caliber team that just happens to be below 500 right now. But, like, that's what you can expect from average teams, is they're up and they're down. I laugh whenever I hear that narrative. And listen, there are a lot of really good reporters that I respect around the NBA that have run with that narrative recently, that the Raptors will make their decision based on what happens here on the road trip. But it doesn't make any sense. These are decisions, like, whether they want to go all in on the tank or push forward for the play-in or whatever they decide to do this season, yeah, that's going to factor into the decision that they make at the deadline. But there's way more to it than that. Whatever they do or don't do at the deadline will impact the future of this franchise for years to come. These are huge, far-reaching, franchise-altering decisions, and the people that are in charge are way too smart to make those decisions on the whim of one game or two games, or in this case, a seven-game road trip. They're going to look at the totality of their evaluation and probably most importantly make the decisions based on what the market looks like, what's out there for them on February 9th. If it makes sense, they're going to do it. If it doesn't, they're not going to do it. I don't think that their mind is going to be changed by what happens here over the next three games.
They played 52 games.
Yeah, it's not like they're watching that Suns game. Maybe we should keep this team.
There's a ton of sample size on what they are. That doesn't mean they can't get in. That's a different story. They could.
But they're not going to change their approach.
But it doesn't, exactly. Big picture, you're not going to see anything in the next 5 days, 6 days on this road.
52 is enough.
That's a lot of games. That's a lot of games. And the thing is, with Ananobi, what separates him from Trent and Van Vliet is they got him under control next year.
Yeah.
So from my standpoint, Josh, if you're going to trade him between now and the deadline, it signals two things. One, you got a massive, massive haul in return. Like, you're not just trading him to trade him. That makes absolutely no sense. If someone offers the Raptors a massive haul, then I think they'll end up doing it. Secondly, if that haul is there and they decide to unload Ananobi, what they are likely telling us, and what I think probably should be happening anyway, is that they have the full intention of being the fifth worst team in the NBA, the sixth worst team in the NBA. Like, you look at the standings, there's a chance Orlando could catch them. There's a chance. They're not, quote-unquote, catching Charlotte, San Antonio, Detroit, Houston. Those are the worst teams in the league. The best odds they could possibly get are the fifth-best odds at that top pick. But that's probably worth something. And, you know, if they unload Anunoby, we just saw it. He wasn't playing last night either. He's not playing on the rest of this trip. They are a significantly worse team without him. And if you unload Fred on top of that or Gary Trent on top of that, there's a chance they could, you know, be bottom five, bottom six. And that's probably worth going for if you feel like this draft is something, you know, that could truly change your future.
Yeah, but the counter-argument is there's a chance they could be that bad even with these guys based on what we've seen here over the last few months. I think there are a couple reasons to trade Anunoby right now, and you mentioned a few of them. One, his value is really high as it's probably ever been in his career, in part because, for the most part, he's been able to stay healthy this year. He's also having a really good season. And then the second thing is it's a seller's market right now. There aren't a lot of teams that are shopping their star players, which is why you hear so much about the Raptors guys, but the counter argument to that would be, are those things not going to be true in a few months from now in the summer when theoretically there are going to be a lot more players available? So if there's something specific you're looking for Anunoby, let me say this, because everyone keeps talking about draft picks with OG. Could they get two draft picks? Could they get three draft picks? Why does that, I'm not sure that makes sense for the Raptors to trade OG for a haul of draft picks, unless, of course, they're going down the full rebuild path. Like, if you're trading Siakam and Van Vliet and all those guys, get as many draft picks as you can. But as long as you're keeping Van Vliet and re-signing him over the offseason, and that's a whole other topic, if you're keeping Siakam, those guys are going to be 29. You're probably going to want to maximize their prime over the next few years. You're probably not thinking draft picks. If you're moving OG in that scenario, you want maybe some draft capital, but guys that are going to step in and help you right now, it's probably more of a roster balancing thing. I like to use the Sacramento-Indiana trade last year, Halliburton for Sabonis, as kind of a blueprint there for trading from an area of strength to address an area of weakness. Maybe that's what an Anunoby trade looks like. But again, wouldn't that make more sense in the summer when more players are available? So I agree with you there. I think they're not feeling any kind of urgency or rush in an Anunoby trade. They're going to listen to offers, and if something blows them away, sure. But I think there's far more urgency to deal with a potential Van Vliet or Trent situation, just because, I mean, officially, you don't have to make a decision on them and their contract until the end of June, but essentially, the Raptors will be deciding whether or not they want to re-sign Gary Trent Jr. and Fred VanVleet in the next 10 days. If you're trading them, it's because you can't justify paying them what they're going to get this summer with all the other obligations you have to make. If you're keeping them, you can't afford to lose those guys for nothing. They don't have the depth to afford that. If you're keeping them, it's because you plan on re-signing those guys this summer.
Don't you think, Josh, they would know now on VanVleet if they're going to trade him? And do you think this situation is at all comparable to Lowry when they decided to keep him through the deadline?
Well, I think the market is similar to what the market was for Lowry at that deadline, because you've got a whole bunch of teams that are thinking, okay, well, why would I give up serious assets for this guy right now when I could either A, sign him during the offseason for the teams that have cap space, or teams that are probably also thinking B, well, why am I giving up a lot for this guy when he could just flat out leave in a few months from now? The only teams that might really be interested right now are teams like the Clippers that don't have the cap space to sign him. But even teams like that, like, how much are they willing to give up? So, yeah, I mean, I think to some degree it's going to come down to the market for guys like Van Vliet and Trent, just because I think, like, ultimately if you're making a deal, it depends what's being offered. But I agree with you, Jonas. Like, I think for those guys, you have a pretty good idea what you want to do with those two, because that's been the evaluation over the last few months. In addition to all this, like, where are we headed type of thing, a big part of it has to be evaluating, or I should say projecting, what the free agent markets are going to look like for Trent and Van Vliet. So that means, how much are they going to want? And most importantly, what's a realistic number for them based on the teams that could theoretically be interested and what they have to spend? And like I said, the Raptors have to decide, are they willing to bring those guys back at that cost? And if the answer is no, you can't let those guys walk for nothing. I mentioned the organizational depth. They don't have enough of it to justify letting those guys walk. And because, and this is a big part of it too, the Raptors are probably going to be an above cap team even if they let those guys walk, meaning they don't have the money to go out and replace those guys in free agency. So they've got to do their free agent shopping now, essentially.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week or so, week and a half, between now and the deadline. And then beyond that, there's still going to be a lot of questions in terms of what Masai and Bobby Webster decide to do to try to get this team back on the same path. On top of that, you know, the uncertainty of Nick Nurse, his future, what's going to happen there. There's a lot to get into. You'll be all over it. Always appreciate you taking time. Thank you, Josh.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter. Yeah, the Nick Nurse stuff, I mean, that it seems like the players, I mean, if you're losing, oh, you could speak to this, you just don't like the coach. Like, that's generally how it goes. It's not that you hate the coach, but
especially when you have a championship pedigree coach where it's like, I tell you guys what to do and you just can't execute it, can you? I give you my thing and I know it works, but you guys just can't do it. So it just gets to a point where he's always right, and you're a bunch of dummies, and you're not good enough for him. And there's a lot of tension there.
Well, Jeff,
it's like the idea of losing your mind when you know the season's kind of lost. It's like, really, you got to be a hero and do that? But you got to continue to press buttons and play to win. You can't just completely mail in a season.
But do you guys think there's a point where the message just stops getting through? Like, I was just, as Jeff was talking, I was thinking of Paul Maurice in Winnipeg and how it just, like, after a certain point, it just becomes like, this guy, like,
yeah, I think
I'm sick of seeing this guy's
yeah
face.
Exactly.
Well, I think there's truth in that, and I think more so with the guys who have been here for a while, like Van Vliet,
which
possibly
is like their
Siakam,
core, all the guys they play.
Absolutely. But the team's not good enough. Like, it sounds like the front office isn't happy with him because he drives these guys into the ground with minutes. But his counter would be the bench.
Like, who
sucks.
Do you want me to play?
Who do you want me to play?
Yeah.
You know, who, like, who am I putting on the court?
It's fair.
And it
that's
is absolutely
the coaches,
fair.
That's what the coaches fire back with. I'm going to play these guys so much because you haven't given me anybody else
exactly.
I want to put out there.
Exactly. And I think that's become true, again, through 52 games. This is a flawed roster. That's on the front office. That's
yeah,
on,
and he
that's
probably
on
had the Mike Babcock clause in there where the filling out the lineup sheet, I decide who goes out in the court. You're not telling me
absolutely.
Who's going out there.
Absolutely. I'm playing Van Vliet 40 minutes, even if he's banged up. I'm playing Ananobi. I mean, that's what's happened all year. And it's still not good enough because they're out of the playoffs looking in.
Yeah. Speaking of the coaches getting the first-round pick, like Peyton, do you think the Leafs would have given up a first-round pick to get Babs here back in the day?
No.
No, because of how high the – like, it was such a high pick.
What year was it, 15?
Yeah, he was the Marner draft and then the Matthews draft.
Yeah, so there's no
They're not trading that. But you know what's coming in here? Ian Rappaport has got a report. We'll come back and tell you what it is.
Tease it.
It makes Denver look – like a disaster of an operation.
Jesus,
an
Jesus,
absolute Jesus. Disaster. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so big news this hour. Sean Payton is on his way to the Denver Broncos. And we mentioned that the Houston Texans did not learn any lessons in terms of PR the last couple of years because they have been really a mess. I mean, it's been a disaster down there with the Watson stuff, the Lovie Smith hiring just
owner.
To fire him, the owner being an absolute disaster. You would think if you got a guy like D'Amico Ryans, that's a big hire. He's a guy that's coming back. He was really sought after league-wide. 49ers defensive coordinator, young guy, vibrant guy. That's a good hire. And that's something you want, the platform of exclusivity on that hiring. You want everyone talking about it. But Sean Payton's a bigger name. Payton's a great coach. He's got a Super Bowl. He's a big personality. He's been working with Fox. This may explain why Houston was like, we're going to send out what we're going to send out, where it was Denver that actually kind of took them out at the knees. Because Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is reporting that the Broncos spent today, trying to hire D'Amico Ryans. But after he committed to the Texans, they called up Sean Payton and finalized the deal. So,
look at this one. Secretly tried to lure Jim Harbaugh from Michigan.
Yes. And then after Ryan said, no thanks, I'm going to Houston, I guess Harbaugh said, actually, I'm going to stay at Michigan. Then they said, fine, we'll either pay the price for Payton or we'll accept Payton. Either way, to me, this makes
no, look at this
Denver
one, Hayes.
Look like a joke.
Try to hire Ryans again. What did the guy say? No thanks?
Yeah. So you're right. If you break it down, based on what Rappaport is saying, they wanted Ryans. D'Amico Ryans. That was their guy. We got to get him. He said, I don't know. So then they were like, all right, we're going to go get Jim Harbaugh from Michigan. Nah, I think I'm out. So then they started negotiating with Peyton, probably found out what the price was going to be.
And then tried the other guy again.
Called up Ryans again, said, are you sure? And he goes, absolutely. I'd rather be in this absolute disaster down in Houston.
Exactly. He chose Houston over that.
He chose Houston over Denver. Then the Broncos circled back and said, fine, we'll pay the price.
Yeah, like, I want the underpants cam on the Broncos owner, knowing that the book is out on his QB and nobody wants to be associated with. How does Sean Payton want to be associated with it?
Well, and how does Payton feel about the fact that clearly they didn't want him? They wanted D'Amico Ryans.
Not that they didn't want him, but he was second fiddle.
At least.
His agent, Peyton's agent would know that, and that would be a deal breaker for me. I'd be like, no way, man.
Well, listen, man. I think it says Harbaugh knows, Ryans knows. Russ is cooked, man. He's cooked. All right, hour two coming up. Mike Johnson will join us. Marcellus Wiley still to come on this and more. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.